Hello and welcome everyone to the eighth session of Hello Casa. My name is Michael and today I'll be hosting Jorge Enrique Chauta. Jorge is attorney at law in Colombia. He has been living in Germany, speaks fluent German, has been living in the US and also in Australia. He'll be talking a little bit about his experience in those countries as an attorney and also his businesses right now in Bogota. Before we start, I'd like to introduce our Colombia real estate guide quickly. If you watch via Hangouts, you find the link on the right-hand side. If you watch via YouTube, you find the link in the description. Also, if you want to become a member of our live interview community, either as a guest or as a listener, you can click the link in YouTube and we will inform you about new events. A quick explanation about the Q&A function in Google Hangouts. On top next to the question mark, you see a panel. And you simply have to click on that panel and then you will see a button and then you can ask and post your questions. So let's start with the interview. Jorge Chauta, we are very pleased to have you. Thank you very much for being with us. Why don't you quickly introduce yourself?
Yes, Michael, thank you very much. It's a pleasure for me to be here and be part of this live interview of Hello Casa. Yes, as you said, my name is Jorge Enrique Chauta. I was born in Colombia and grew up in Colombia up until I was 15 years old. Then I moved to the US to finish high school. And after I finished high school, I went to Germany and lived in Germany for a few years, about 5 years, where I studied, learned German and studied politics in Berlin. After that, I moved to Australia, and in Australia, I lived for about 10 years. Yeah, I'm an Australian citizen as well, and I worked in international development initially after I studied international relations. After working for a few years, I decided to become a lawyer and studied law in Australia. And there was a possibility for me to get a dual degree, a dual certification in Australia and in the US. So I moved to the United States, Washington, DC, and finished 2 years of law school in the US and became, I finished my law degree in Australia and in the US. So I have those two degrees. I work in international arbitration for a year and then started working in migration and migration law. My firm is Fortuna Migration. It's a new firm. What we do is we help people migrate to Australia and to the US. Right now, the main focus is Australia. And so what we do is we help people who want to migrate to Australia, either Colombians or anyone, particularly now Colombia, because that's where I'm based right now. So Colombians or Venezuelans that have migrated to Colombia and want to move to Australia. We help them throughout the process. Australia is a very rule-based country, so there's a lot of rules and laws that change every time. Migration law in Australia and migration issues in Australia have been very controversial in the past, particularly with refugees and this sort of forced migration issue from different parts of the world to Australia. But the main focus of our company is professional migration, partner migration, family visas, family reunification, adoption, sport visa, that if there's someone with a talent that wants to work and live in Australia could do so, sponsor professional migration, student visas, as well as humanitarian work or humanitarian visas in to Australia.
Interesting, that's nice. So you are like a globetrotter and made your living out of like now you're making your living out of people who want to do the same as you did. That's very interesting. Moving around the world and then migrating to different countries. Before we go in detail into detail concerning your business, it's very interesting to maybe have your point of view concerning leaving Colombia, like growing up in Colombia, and then leaving towards Europe and then the US. How was that experience? And then how did you? What was the biggest change you experienced? And yeah, how was it?
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting at the time when I left Colombia. Colombia was going through, tough times. It has a history of violence, of wars, of cartel violence and trafficking and this sort of stuff. So at the time in the 90s, it was I think it was at the peak of this situation. Security wasn't as good as it is now. So I remember growing up in not in fear, but always sometimes thinking about, oh, my parents went to work, and then you think, bombs were going off, like people were getting killed, the safety of people getting robbed, all this sort of stuff. So you kind of like grew up with these sort of things going around you. So the best thing was to go overseas, study overseas, and it is still something that people do and that can be done. So I had the opportunity to do it, and I did it. So then it was my decision to do it. So I took the decision, and I just decided to go. And my parents just said, like, okay, we'll support you with your decision, and you just go, So I did. And it has been a great experience. I think it opens up your mind. It gives you a global perspective of life, of culture, of awareness of different cultures, religions, different people, different mentality, or different the way that other people think. I think you're more aware of these things, and that's I think that's also part of it is globalization and how we live now, and how the world is a lot smaller now than what it used to be,
Yeah, absolutely. That's to the point. It's very interesting, exactly how you highlight that. So you said like Colombia was different when you left. What's the biggest difference? Because you have been you came back like a few years ago or this year,
Last year, yeah.
last year. So what was the biggest difference you experienced? You would say, okay, when I left from like after my high school, when I left. Things were like a little bit different. How would you summarize the difference?
I think the biggest difference is obviously the city is a lot larger. I think it's a little bit more organized in terms of public transportation. When I left, I think the buses were just, it was chaotic. It was like the buses going everywhere. I think it was less organized in that sense. So I think now with this Transmilenio and the blue buses, this I think it has become a little bit more organized in that sense. Yeah. However, it's still a problem. I think still the mobility and the commute, like commuting in Bogota is it's a bit difficult because there's more people, so there is more cows, more traffic. And another thing that I noticed is the pollution. I think the pollution right now is something that I don't like here. It's something that I think the government should really do something about it. I felt it. Every time I come back to Colombia or to Bogota, I feel that the pollution it's worse than what it used to be. Yeah, but another change is the safety. I feel safe here. I don't. I talk to Colombians, and they say that it's not safe, that you can't walk around. I think people are still with that fear of what has happened in the past, where everybody lived in fear. I think I walk around, I walk everywhere, and I don't feel insecure. I don't feel any safety issue, or that I'm going to get mugged, or I haven't even seen anything happen, or any fights or anything like that. I haven't, since I've been here, I've never seen them.
Yeah, I agree. That's true. Well, that's great. That's so only positive changes, a little bit of pollution and maybe a little bit more traffic, but in an organized way. So step by step, we're improving here in Bogota. So you quickly mentioned your migration business and people who want to migrate to Australia. You also said that mostly Colombians you're targeting, obviously, because you are based in Bogota, and also Venezuelans. What are the main motivations you are seeing from people who want to migrate? Why do they want to migrate? Is it more like people who just found an Australian boyfriend or girlfriend and want to marry it? Or is it rather new opportunities or lack of opportunities in Colombia, and they need to leave the country in order to take the next step in their career, or what might that be?
Yeah, for example, there is two factors in migration, the push factors and the pull factors. So usually a push factor is lack of services, lack of opportunities, unemployment, low wages, like crime and safety, warfare, natural disasters, political or religious instability, and also the global media, you know, the image that that media shows of a better lifestyle, you know, of like a better life standard. And those are the main push factors of why people would want to leave. And then pull factors would be something like higher employment, family reunification, if they have family overseas and they want to, or in Australia and they want to reunificate with them, or like a former colonial relationship, like in this case Australia and the UK are like previous colonies, so they it's easier for them to migrate from one place to another. The establishment of migrant networks, you know, something like Chinese diaspora or the Jewish diaspora, that they are basically very well settled in different parts. Like you find a Chinatown in any city in the US or even in Australia or in Europe. So these migrant networks allow people to, it's a pull factor for people to migrate to those places, or a good climate, you know, that the weather is better and the grass is greener on the other side, so to say. This sort of stuff. For example, I'll give you an example. If Venezuelans leave Venezuela because of the political situation, so if they can't go to the US or Australia or anywhere straight from Venezuela, so they come to Colombia because it's easier, and then they want to find a way to go to Australia or go to the US. A lot of Venezuelans here in Colombia are here because of the oil business, but as you know, the oil business now is not really good business anymore. So a lot of them are finding themselves without jobs. So they're trying to migrate. So I have a client who wants to migrate to Australia because she hasn't found a job here in Colombia, and she's as well. And so this is a factor, and also because they have friends in Australia, and they tell them, yes, it's very nice, it's the weather's good, it's very safe, the wage, it's very high paying jobs, and depending on your occupation or profession, Australia has need of engineers, architects, doctors, teachers, school, like preschool teachers, nurses, electricians, and all these sort of professionals or professions or occupations. So if they find, if there is a Venezuelan engineer and they want to go to Australia, there is a process that can be done for them to go and find a job in Australia and live there.
Okay, you just mentioned actually two very important or interesting points, which I would like to ask you, upon which I would like to ask follow-up questions. The first one, you said, like, okay, people are looking for more opportunities or better opportunities. I got curious when you mentioned that, because there are also a lot of Australian people here in Colombia, because of that reason, they say, well, there's so many opportunities in Colombia, and I really want to, you know, leverage them or take it, go ahead and start my business and whatever. Do you, like, frankly speaking, do you really think that the opportunities in a country like Australia are in absolute terms, like, much better and humongous in comparison to Colombia? Or do you think it's also triggered by the common perception that in Australia things are much better, or people are just expecting a better life by moving into a different country?
Well, I guess there is a bit of both. So yes, Australia has a lot of opportunities. The population is less than in Colombia. So Colombia has a lot more competition because there's a lot of young professionals and the competition is very high. Australia has more of a less, so it's a growing country, it's a very big country and a very rich country. So it's building itself. So a lot of the professions and opportunities that there are for these kind of professionals who would be then building the country, so to say. So engineers, architects, constructions, all these sort of people.
That's okay. Very interesting, and also obviously very 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 reasonable. Like the demographics of the Colombian society is obviously more skewed towards the younger generations, while you have, like, in Australia, most probably much older or a much larger share of elderly people. You again mentioned a very interesting point, which I would like to ask you about, the education. Like, how do you see, because you're exposed a lot towards the people or the education level of the Colombian people and also the Venezuelan people. So maybe to give the audience an idea of the educational level and also the perception of the Australian Immigration Office about Colombian people who are, how they are educated, how about their education level? Like, you mentioned engineers, architects. How is that perceived by the Australian Immigration Office?
So basically, Australia has I'll take an example, engineers, for example. So they have if you want to migrate to Australia has an entity for engineers that will study your qualifications and your studies and your experience. So they find that Colombians have had good education, that people are very, very capable and good professionals. However, Australia always prefer people that have had more experience than just studies, right? I think they value more the experience than the education. And Australia values more Australian experience as well. However, that's not to say that education is not important, but they do regard Colombian professionals as very well educated and capable of performing any engineer tasks in Australia.
Great. Okay, that's the information or the answer I was expecting, because my perception is also that the educational level is, like, very high, and it's good to communicate that as well once in a time. Yes. you're not only doing that business, like the migration business, but you're also a foreign associate in Colombia. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing there.
Correct. Yeah. So I'm a foreign associate at a small law firm here in Colombia. I'm a foreign associate because I am not a certified lawyer, or I cannot practice law in Colombia. So what I do there is I, with the clients that I bring into the firm or that need any legal advice, I work with them with the other lawyers, and by doing that, I would learn Colombian law and the way Colombian regulations in different areas, such as intellectual property, real estate law, labor law, business and company law, and family law as well, and other areas of law that may arise depending on the case. Except criminal law, the firm does not do any criminal matters. So I help mainly foreign companies or foreign people living in Colombia that have any legal issues. So we can do that because we speak English and we know the law, and we can help them, you know, navigate all these complexities here in Colombia. That's the other part of the business. Yeah.
Yeah. That's okay. Cool. Tell us a little bit about the landscape, the legal landscape in Colombia. How is that structured? And for someone who has no idea about how everything is organized, give us an introduction about that. And about the structure in general.
Right. So Colombia is unlike the US or Australia, where common law is the basis of the rules and regulations in those countries. Colombia is a civil law country. It has now expanded a little bit more into common law standards or way of rules and regulations. This is to say of jurisprudence, which is law that has been created by cases or decisions of cases that are applied in cases later on. By being a civil law country, the laws in Colombia are codified, so everything is in books and numbers. So you just need to look at the codes, and all the laws will be there, which is basic Roman law that you have in Europe, and that it's in Latin America, pretty much all over. So that's pretty much the legal framework in Colombia.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. And you are, like, I guess you're organized by a chamber a legal chamber, or how does that work? Like, you find certified attorneys, and maybe also, like, do you have to have an attorney certification, or can everyone like conduct their legal services? How does that work?
Okay, so yeah, so I cannot practice law here, so I cannot go to the courts or like firm any sign any documents as a lawyer, but that's what the partners do. Excuse me. So you do have to have a license to practice law in Colombia, and so you get that once you graduate from the university and you pass certain exams. There is a body which regulates and has all the lawyers, the school of lawyers in Colombia. So every lawyer has to have that, has to have it, and it needs to be ongoing. It cannot be canceled. I mean, it can be canceled if you do something wrong, so they can cancel your license, but you have it, and that's a body that regulates it. It's the same for example, real estate agents have also this Lonja, which is a body or an entity that regulates and gives the certificates and permissions for real estate agencies to operate in the country.
Okay, great. Okay, interesting. So it's more or less regulated as it is in Europe or also in Australia and the US concerning the certificates, and not everyone can say, okay, I'm an attorney at law. Okay, that's interesting. You mentioned previously that you're also dealing with international customers. Most of them, where are they from? Most of them are from the US, or you also have people from all over the world?
Pretty much right now, yes, Colombians, but also Americans and Australians and English people living here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. So you also have the UK represented to a quite high degree. Okay. One question concerning you also, obviously, like us as Halocasa, we are always interested in real estate and procedures and also legal facts about that. What do you do exactly when it comes to real estate? What are your services?
In real estate, basically, services are the administration of a property, real property. So if you own an apartment or a house or a commercial property, we can administer it for you. That means we find a tenant who will then sign a lease with the real estate agency, and it has to go with some requirements before they can sign the lease. They need to be approved by certain insurance company, and they need to have had some history of tenancy in other parts, and they need their ID and stuff like that. So once you give us, let's say you have a property and you give it to us for us to administer it for you, there is a 6% commission, and that's by law in Colombia. That 6% covers the costs of insurance and other, you know, administrative costs for the agency.
Those 6% are 6% of the monthly rental, because we are talking about the tenants, so more or less financial. You're making a background check of the financial liabilities or financial credibility of the tenants. Okay, this is one service you're talking about, and also I guess that you're doing the same when people want to buy a property, and then you go for the legal due diligence, so making sure that everything is clear. Okay, how does that go? How does that work?
So we also do sell and purchase of property. So if you want to sell it or you want to purchase it, you can go through us, and we can advertise it and find a buyer or find a property for a buyer. And basically, if there is a property that is going to be sold, so we would pretty much do all the legal work and all the due diligence to know that the property does not have any encumbrance in the certificate. So there is a registered office where you go and you get a certificate of the property, and in that certificate there is a history of from the moment the property was built and registered up to today, so to say. So it would be the number of the it's called sort of like a license, so it's like a number of the property. And then if the property it's in a legal dispute, it will appear on the certificate. If the property has a mortgage, it will appear on the certificate. How many owners has it had, how many times has it been sold, from who and to who, and basically this is the most important thing that you need if you want to buy a property, just to make sure that the property is clear and is clean, and that it's you have a green light to buy it. there are cases where people have not done this homework, you know, this due diligence, and they have bought properties that, for example, were sold to them by people who were not the legal owners of the property. So they, there have been cases where people have been pretty much, you know, ripped off by people that are negligent and that are not doing things right. So it's better to be safe than sorry later on.
And we, go ahead. Sorry.
And we do all this work after that, so we make sure that that's okay.
So you would say that it's imperative that you should go for a legal advisor and an attorney with who then is gonna check all the documents so that you know what you're gonna go for.
Correct.
Okay. Coming quickly back to the administration for the tenants. You were mentioning administration. Does that only imply like the legal administration, or do you also say, no, we are really doing everything with, I don't know, like getting the monthly rental costs or whatsoever? What is included there?
Yeah, so that it would be, let's say you own a property and we are administering the property for you. So you don't have to worry about anything. The tenant will deal with us. And all you do is you give us your bank account and we will put the money in your bank every the first 10 days of the month. If the tenants don't pay, this 6% covers part of the insurance. The insurance is 2.5%. If they don't pay, the insurance will then pay, and then the insurance is the one that deals with the tenant. So the insurance is the one that covers everything. We do not go around insurance. Everybody that leases a property with us has to go through the insurance.
Okay, perfect. So that means I can buy an apartment, I can move back to Germany or to the Bahamas, and I just can say, Jorge, just take care of that. Here's the 6%, and I'm just expecting my rental fee, my monthly rental fee on my bank account each month.
Exactly. Yeah. Right now we have clients that live in Mexico, in Houston, in the U.S., and in Germany. Actually, there is in Munich. We have clients that are there, and they just give us a bank account, and we'll just put the money in the bank account every month, and we'll take care of everything else.
This is perfect. This is exactly, I think, where the entire market is heading to, like full service full rental services, especially when I, for example, want to buy real estate in, I don't know, in Australia, and I'm not there. And if I have someone like you there and who takes care of that, this is very, very valuable.
Yes. Yes, I agree.
We are already coming actually to the final questions, which I like to ask my guests about Colombia. First question is what you like the most about Colombia, and then the second one is what you like the least.
What I like the most is the I think the people are very, I don't know, very, very friendly, very helpful, very very happy. I like that. So that's really what I like. I like the fruits, you know, fruits and vegetables are very tasty. and the weather, I guess I also like it very much.
Okay. And what do you like the least? What is the one you would like, if you could change something, which what would that be?
I don't know. Like I said before, I think that at least from Bogota, it would be the pollution. Like if there could be something done about that, I think, and that there'd be a better way to move, like a metro, like a, you know, an underground or something like that. I think that could help a lot. But also, I think I could change the way maybe processes and strategies to to be more, maybe more efficient and effective in different things, you know, like in businesses, for example, so that processes could be effective and that people could be diligent. I'm not sure. I think that is something that I think can improve, you know, and you can't really compare. I mean, with like countries like Australia or like, I don't know, in Europe or in the States, where like processes are very, very straightforward and things can go very smoothly, you know, and you can predict what's going to happen. I think here in Colombia, still there is this unpredictable things that could sometimes change things around, but it's still manageable. Yeah, but I think that's something that can improve.
Okay, great. Well, Jorge, you yes. have a Hello Casa profile, so people can contact you via Hello Casa, especially concerning the real estate full services and administration. I think that's very valuable, especially since you speak English and also German fluently. So in case people are interested to have someone who speaks their language, they're definitely gonna approach you. You also have your website, which is Fortuna Migration, correct?
Correct, yeah.
Okay, so all the people who are interested in immigrating to Australia, they're gonna go to fortunamigration.com.
Yes.
Okay, do you have any other mode or way of how people can contact you?
Yeah, people can contact me on via, you know, the Hello Casa profile, and I think my LinkedIn profile as well. My email address, jorgeenrique@fortunamigration.com. Or my phone number, I suppose it would also be available. I think that's a way that they can contact me, and if they're here in Colombia, I'll be happy to meet for coffee and discuss anything that or how we can work together or what we can do for people that are coming into Colombia and want to do business or want to set up a company, need legal advice, need assistance with finding real estate property or offices or somewhere to live. We can also help out with that, and also the migration part for people, maybe Colombians or maybe even other foreigners that are here and want to go to Australia and live there permanently or have an experience there.
That sounds good. Sounds like the best final words, Jorge. I really thank you so much for having been with us, and I wish you a very nice evening and afternoon. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Michael. It was really a pleasure to me to be part of the Hello Casa session.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Interview. Okay, talk to you soon. Bye bye.
Okay, thank you. Soon. Bye bye.